Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say that it is so. Truly I was glad, and truly I know that you are glad, when they saith unto us, oh, let us go into the house of the Lord. In the house of the Lord, which is the tabernacle of the Most High, there is praises, there is thanksgiving, there is worship, true worship, not the worship and adoration of mankind, but the worship and adoration of our true spiritual creator, our Father God, who spoke all things into physical existence. This is whom we should worship. This is whom we should adore. This is who we should give recognition to. And all that men would praise the Lord for his greatness, for his loving kindness, for his tender mercies and his goodness. Oh, what great miracles would come forth. They would come forth in such a way we would not have the vocabulary nor the mastering verbatim to describe them in language terms. God's greatness is so immense and intense, there is no way that we actually can explain his omnipotence, which is his all-willing power, his omniscience. What does omniscience mean? All-knowing. And his omnipresence, which means he's at every place at every given time. God is a spirit. He is not a denomination. He is not a religion. He is not a religious leader. God is a spirit. You cannot touch a spirit physically. You may not see a spirit physically, but you know that it's there because the breath is present there. They that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit, which means through the power of the Holy Spirit and by acknowledging and accepting and applying truth. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord, said that ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And he that the Son sets free is free and free indeed. So we're here in 2021, January the 3rd, 2021. We've got a new attitude and an increased altitude and an improved attitude. We're going to focus our worship, our adoration, our concentration upon God, not upon a physical building, not upon a physical presence or leader, not upon a denomination, but we're going to worship God. You can only worship him through the power of the Holy Spirit and acknowledging and walking and talking and living in truth. That doesn't qualify us to be holier than thou. It qualifies us to be walking in the path of righteousness. For God orders the steps of a righteous man, and though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. And knowing that as we walk in this path that is narrow, the path is long. Straight is the way. Narrow is the path that leadeth into life, an eternal life. But the sad part is that few shall find it. Why? Because it's not the popular path. It's not the path of the in crowd. It's not the path that's popular, that's gaining worldly approval. But see, the worldly approval path, you do what you want, how you want, when you want, and you still are okay. That broad path that, you know, and wide, that anything and everything can take place, and it's okay, it's acceptable. Long as you recognize your physical leader, long as you pay into your denomination or to your congregation, you're all right. That's the broad path. You're acceptable with the world. And that broad path is the one that's leading to destruction, and many are following their end. And Jesus even told us, our Lord, we need to apply the teachings more of what Christ taught the disciples. And we're disciples, we're being disciplined. We're being disciplinary. That means we're being controlled. We should be monitoring ourselves. He says, you know something? If you walk in the path of what is right, you don't have to seek rewards. The rewards will find you. God will give you divine favor to come and meet you and greet you wherever you are. You don't have to try to gain popularity by falling in with the in crowd, because remember, that's the path that leads to destruction. And Jesus even spake to his disciples, this scripture. He said, neither the blind lead the blind. They both shall fall into the ditch together. So the broad path is the people that are blind. They're leading others who are blinded. And they're all falling by the wayside. And they're taking others with them. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but in that way it's the way of death. That means the very stop, the very end, the conclusion. And it's not going to be a pleasant one. So that's the reason why we don't walk that broad path of popularity, of greatness, of recognition. Some people want recognition so bad until it sickens them if it doesn't come. You know something? When you are functioning in that mindset, that's the carnal mind. The scripture tells us that the carnal mind is enmity. That means it's an opposing force against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Of course, we live in the world. We can enjoy the very privileges of living on the physical realm. God wants us to prosper in all things and be in health, even as our souls do prosper. But our concentration, our focus, our passion should not be to please the world. Because why? The world, the societal structure of all things, both great and small, are disintegrating right in front of our very eyes. If you don't believe it, look at the major headlines in your news circulates, in your cities, and in your communities, and you'll see where all the violence and the apathy, the hatred, the malice, the greed, the incoherency, the madness, the disintegration of society is happening. And it's happening continually. And that's the reason why the Lord told us, don't burn your energies into these areas, because if you do, you will become dysfunctional. You will become depressed. You will become oppressed. And you know something? That is not God's will. So if you want to walk this beautiful path of this glorious life as we live on earth and walk in the ways of prosperity, health, greatness, peace, love, and all the beautiful things that the Holy Spirit represents, you've got to be obedient to the word of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And thank God for his presence on this day. Once again, repeating, Sunday, January 3rd, 2021, you've got the manner of speaking, where we are speaking the word, speaking with the authority through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are addressing the areas of life, both natural and spiritual, that are elemental, that are crucial to your existence. Because we have to be balanced in the natural to be balanced in the spiritual. We must have the presence of the spiritual man balanced before the natural man can be balanced. There has to be the balancing of both equations. And this is where so many leaders have failed. They've given their congregants information about spiritual aspects of their salvation, but they did not teach them how to maintain the integrity of their salvation. See, salvation is an independent endeavor. And when you endeavor something, you constantly build, you constantly grow, you constantly study, you constantly are progressing. You may not be progressing at that rapid pace, but you're progressing at a momentum that is equivalent to what God has placed within you. It's the same Holy Spirit. There's no difference in the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that abided within the apostles, within the disciples, within the prophets. It's the same Holy Spirit that abides within us. And there's various operations of the Holy Spirit. And see, people become believers. They need to understand there's certain elements, there's certain levels that we function on. And we have to grow in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've seen so many people that have the zeal of God, and they just have the zeal, but you know, you have to, along with zeal, the zest, the desire, the passion, you've got to have the knowledge. For the fear of the Lord, I mean the respecting and the regarding of God as being the pillar of our salvation, as being the pillar of our existence, is the beginning of knowledge. The fear is not what you think is, oh, I'm so scared. No, no, no. It's the respect, the regarding of God. The respect for God is the beginning of your spiritual growth in salvation, because we grow from grace to grace and from truth to truth. And from faith is the ever-growing progression that we take as being believers. That's right. We're not self-righteous. We're not holier than thou. We sin every day. I've heard some people say, I haven't sinned today, and I'm not going to sin. Jesus said, you say you have no sin, you're a liar. You're not telling the truth. Because you see, we were born into sin and shapen unto iniquity. That means we were contoured to be functioning on the level of the carnal man. And see, that carnal mind is enmity. It's constantly striving against what is good, what is pure, what is right, what is righteous. So that is sin already. Doubt is the first level to sin. It's doubt and disbelief. Because when you have disbelief or doubt, you're not functioning in the credibility of what you profess you believe. That is an open door for us to fall into sin. Now, it's a difference between falling into sin and committing sin. Now, for example, I'm going to give you a good example. And you, let's pray, because we need to be taught the importance of what our salvation encompasses. And this is where the anointing takes over. Because what we can't do, we have to provide an infrastructure where the anointing of God can take over and to elevate us to that part where we receive the miracles of God imminent in our lives. Now, falling into sin means that you got tempted and you fell victim. You fell from grace. Well, the scriptures tell us that if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father who is just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Who is our advocate? It's not your congregation leader. It is not your parent. It is not your best friend. It's not your co-worker. It's not an associate family member. The only mediator, moderator, savior, a high priest is Jesus Christ. Through his sacrifice, we have been atoned back to God, our heavenly Father. And that means that when we fall to sin, we become weak. And Apostle Paul says, you know something? When I will to do good, I do it in love. He said, it's not me, but it's the evil present within me. He wasn't saying that he was evil. So the Holy Spirit abides within you. And you can't have the spirit of Satan abiding with the Holy Spirit. That's not a fit at all. But Both occupants cannot live in one house. The Holy Spirit lives in your house. You can't become possessed. You can't. It's impossible. But what you have to do is that you have to be subject to the power of God. That means you have to obey the will of God in order for the glory of God to emanate in your life. And that's the importance of it all. So when we fall to sin, we got weak. And in the moment of weakness, we erred. And then we go to Jesus and ask him in his name to forgive us of our sin. Jesus advocates for us to the Father. So when the Father looks, he can now look upon us because he sees us through the eyes of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. And you know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth upon him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it's through him we receive this grace, this amazing grace that forgives us, it pardons us. And though our sins be as scarlet, he washes us whiter than snow. Now, to commit sin, we hear the term commit. That means that you are a willing participant. You weren't tempted. You planned it out, what you were going to do, and you made a route for you to do it, and you sat there and committed it. Well, anytime that a believer commits sin, there's something disharmonious within their psyche. That means that either that person has a serious issue where they cannot bring their flesh under subjection and they have this weakness, and instead of them dealing with this weakness and making an honest confession, which is good for the soul, so that God can give them strength to overcome these things. Because remember, some things God is going to overcome for us through Jesus Christ. But there are some things within us God is entrusting us to do. And the person did not come to the area of reconciliation where they can be reconciled and get strength and get the grace to overturn that weakness. And as a result, they plotted to implement whatever that weakness was. That's committing it. You strategically aligned a plan to get what you wanted to get done. Well, see, that's a serious problem. That's when the power of God needs to emanate deliverance within your being. You need to be delivered from something. That's right. So we have to understand the differentiation factors between those areas. And because we understand that we abide under the grace of God. Have you ever seen a person that dances the ballerina? Oh, my goodness, you're talking about such a beautiful expression of the humanitarian arts through dance. You watch the ballerina, how she's on her toes. She's able to turn around, do the axel, and all of these things. It is so beautiful and so graceful. That means she's defying the very elements of the natural balance of things to be able to do those moves. That's right. So grace is that extra central cushion that allows us the ability to do what we're not able to normally do. That's right. To overcome what we weren't able to overcome, because we acknowledge that there's a much higher force involved in this element of our lives. And this is what we must understand, and we must come down to earth and discuss these areas. Because as Jesus told his disciples, the little factors, these are the little factors that destroy the vine. Very simplistic things can hamper you and hinder you from making progress in your life, from stabilizing your environment, to getting the victory over certain elementations of your life, because you're not acknowledging these things. And again, an honest confession is good for the soul. It's good for us. We sin, we have an advocate with the Father who's just to forgive us and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. And he that God cleans, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl can call unclean. That's right. When God forgives you, you're forgiven. Case closed. Nothing else to be discussed. And then this is a very unusual way to go into the manner of speaking on this glorious and victorious Sunday, January the 3rd, 2021. But this is the way we're going into the new year, with a progressive attitude and an increased altitude, because we're illuminating the fact that we have a great degree of gratitude. Gratitude for all of the things that God has done, is doing, and will continue to do in our lives. We must be grateful, be thankful, be grateful every chance that we get, because he said, despise not the days of small beginnings. That's right. The greatest inventions that came to pass started with small beginnings. That's right. It didn't start off with a big bang. It started off very minuscule, maybe unnoticeable. Maybe after consistent failures or attempts, things began to turn around. But what gets us operating on the elementation of being perpetuating and continual is our faith, our confidence in the Almighty. That's right, in God Almighty is where our confidence is. And we're just thanking God for you and to those of you who are in listening land to be able to contact your coworkers, your family members, those in your community, and those around you and say, you know something, we've got to get on the same page and at the same time so that we will be able to make the steps of progression that are so needful and necessary at this period of time. And with the manner of speaking, you're going to get the tools, the instruments to get you on the right path. And thanking God for you today, and as we're going into this new year with this increased altitude, because of an improved attitude with an accentuating spirit of gratitude, let us go to the 91st division of Psalms. Let me tell you something. God is doing great things on the supernatural realm. And those great things that he's doing on the supernatural realm are going to be made manifest in the physical realm. We're going to see a lot of shifting of paradigms. We're going to start seeing a lot of things take manifestation that we never thought were possible in our lives, things that we had prayed for and asked God to do. God is going to make those things manifest to prove that he is God and his word. When he speaks a word to us, and let me tell you this is a word for someone in listening land. God said that his word will not return unto him void, but will accomplish the purpose in which it was set out for. So whatever God speaks into your being through the power of the Holy Spirit, hold on, hold fast to that word. Believe it. Believe it and receive it, because it's coming to pass. And it comes to pass in seasons. There are seasons. Seasons replicate certain time periods, certain time frames when God is operating within the realm of mankind. That's why sometimes it's for people that have waited for such a long period of time for the promise of God to make manifest, it comes. For those who have been on the front lines as prayer warriors, as champions of the faith, it's their season. To those who have cried and wept tears of sorrow, it's our time for tears of joy and thanksgiving for great things coming to our life. It's our season. So it's intervals, seasons that God operates. He facilitates his greatness in his power and his presence. And go with me to the 91st division of Psalms. We're going to open up God's word. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Heavenly Father, we're asking you to bless your word, for it is already blessed, and that we be blessed to partake of your word, and our blessedness will increase us to be a blessing to others, and that thy kingdom be strengthened upon the earth every negative factor, every evil plot and plan of the enemy. Destroy every evil presence, Father God. Put a hedge and a boundary of protection round about your children as we speak today through the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King of kings, our Lord of lords, our sovereign Savior. We thank you, Father God, for healing in our bodies. We thank you for healing in our minds and our relationships. In the areas of our psyche that we need to be nurtured. We thank you, Father God, that you delivered us and that you will keep us, Lord. And you said with long life will you satisfy us. And we thank you, God. We don't take these lessons lightly, but we are offering our spirit of thanksgiving and praise unto you. Thank you, Father God. Amen. This is Psalms, the 91st division. We're going to begin part one, talking about what a mighty God we serve. Psalms 91, the first verse says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What is the psalmist saying to us? Those that trust in God and depend upon God as being their life force and their life source shall always be covered with his presence. That means God shall always show his grace upon those who trust in him and only in him. He shall always deliver them. He shall always protect them. He shall always provide for them, because it's under his shadow that we abide. And you know your shadow and you cannot be separated. No matter what you do, no matter how the sun sets, when the sun is behind you, it replicates a shadow. And so when we abide under the light of the word, we abide in God's shadow. We are protected through his boundary. The second verse says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. The writer is saying that, you know, it's in God that I live, that I trust, that I abide, that I depend upon. So he is my refuge. When I don't have anybody to talk to, when I don't have anybody to listen to me, but I don't seem to understand what's going on in my life. I don't understand the ups and downs of the parallels of my existence. He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. That means I'm going to put my confidence not in mankind, not in womankind, not in any physical being, because mankind is subject to change with out notice. He said, surely, the third verse says, he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. The fowler is a presence that is foul. It has no good intention. A fowler, I know many of you think about fowlers being a chicken, and chickens, you're talking about a chicken scratch, hurts worse than a cat scratch because they have talons within their feet. And you're talking about a hurt feeling, a fowler. It's a person that is out to try to cause confusion, in this case, to try to upheave what you're doing. They see you and they desire to have what you have and don't know how to get it, so they do foul play. They do underhanded things to attempt to diminish your character, because your presence aggravates the evil that abides within them. Your presence represents righteousness, and because you represent righteousness, you cut the light on. They don't like the light being cut on, but they want to try to denigrate and demoralize you. And the noisome pestilence, that means the continuous levels of confusion, the disharmony. That's right, that is present and prevalent with people are evil-minded. Well, the scripture tells us the heart is deceitful above all things and desperate. desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, it is God that judges the heart. So we know that God covers us from these things. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. That means simply trust in God and stand still. As God told Moses, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That's right. If you run, you can't see his salvation. If you hide, you won't be able to see his salvation. If you get in the corner and just boo-hoo and turn your back, you won't be able to see his salvation. He wants us to stand still and then still stand and see his salvation. And this is what he's saying unto us. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. I mean, God defends his own. Oh, no, he said, don't touch my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. He said, it would have been better to take a millstone and put it around your neck and cast yourself into the sea than just to offend one of God's children. The quickest way for you to get taken out, evildoers, Start messing with God's children. Start messing with his anointed and appointed. God has planted some of us in certain areas of society, and those who try to pluck us up or push us out, look out. God's wrath is coming and has come upon them. That's why God shelters his own, and no one has the right to chasten God's own but God himself. That's right. So when you try to take over and think you're doing something and getting back at somebody, and you turn around and you touch God's anointed, God is going to touch you, and it's not going to be pleasant. And this is the truth. This is the truth. And the truth has been sheltered for so long and hidden for so long until it has wreaked havoc, not acknowledging it is being proof in society. Stop denying proof and get it right, because we serve a mighty God who watches over his word to be perform it. He says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day. That means that we should be able to lay down in peace at night and sleep like an angel, and wake up the next day, revive, refresh, and renew, because we know that God giveth his angels charge over us to protect us as we sleep. The angels of God protect us. They watch over us as we sleep so that no harm nor endangerment can come upon us, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. That means the evil that's going on in society, God's hand is upon us to lead us and guide us, to protect us, to shield us from all hurt, harm, and danger. I have heard testimonies about people who stated that for some reason they couldn't get to that destination that they were trying to get to on time. Things just start happening in their household. Things start happening with them that hampered them. God was protecting them. And sometimes when you and I get upset, saying, I just can't seem to get up and get here at this time, I can't seem to get there at that time, know that God's hand is protecting and preventing us from being harmed. So he sends us around the long way so that we come in the right way. So we have to just thank God for just doing that for us. He gives us so many benefits. If we sat down and just acknowledged the benefits of God, we could not count them all. There would be no verbatim that would be superficial enough or substantial enough to even explain the very benefits and the mercies and the miracles of God in our lives that have operated beforehand and are operating now, even as we speak. Nor for the destruction that wasted at noonday. That means the violence and apathy of society. God protects us as we are up and about because he loves us. He adores his children. He acknowledges his children. He gives his children the benefits beyond their greatest expectations of what they even could imagine possible. The seventh verse says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh see. That means that all the things that are going on within society that are happening, that are so unpleasant, gut-wrenching, heartbreaking, disharmonizing, because God loves us and because we are walking in that narrow, straight path, God is protecting us and shielding us. All these things are happening, but none of this shall come into our lives nor into the lives of those who we love. Because many times our prayers are being the reinforcement shield that is protecting our family, our friends, our associates, because our faith and our favor that we have ascertained in God. Even as Abraham became so close to God, God called Abraham his friend. We know that God is our friend. We know that Jesus Christ is our friend, but God was so close to Abraham because Abraham loved God so much, and he spoke in communion with God so much and communicated, God called Abraham his friend. And because of this, only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Those that have wronged us, the Lord said in his word, vengeance is mine, and I will repay. When we get mad and we stomp our feet and roll our eyes and get the roll in our head, we want to hurt people. Oh, no. Let go and let God. He said, with thine eyes, we're going to see it. And we shall behold and see the reward of the wicked. They're going to be removed. God's going to remove. This is a season of God's going to uproot some people and some things and some places and plant them elsewhere where they can do no more wickedness and no more harm to others, because God gave them a space and a place and a time to repent, and they refused. They refused it. And because of this, they have to reap what they sow. What does the scripture tell us in Galatians? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, thank God we're not on the reciprocating end of his wrath. I want to stay, and I know you want to walk in God's favor. So let us continue to do the right thing. Because what a mighty God we serve. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And because you acknowledge God and you trust him, you pray to him, instead of you getting mad and cursing somebody out, you took it to the Lord and you left it there. Instead of you getting mad and want to ball up your fist or commit some treacherous act of aggression or violence, you took it to God. And as a result, you gained favor from God because you put the weapon down and you became a prayer warrior. And you asked God to take care of it. And because of this, you will see and I will see and experience his wrath upon those who have wronged us. And then you have to feel sorry for them because you know you have no other figure that they did what they did, but then they've got to reap what they sowed. 10th verse, there shall no evil befall thee. No evil shall befall us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Those who devise a trap to try to ensnare us, God is going to allow them to fall into their own pit and be buried in. They're going to get entangled in their own snare and be destroyed. And we need to feel sorry for them. And let us not laugh when we see these things happening, to say, God, I thank you that I'm not on the reciprocating end of your wrath. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. That's the 10th verse. That means that God is not going to allow any impurity, no malady, no disease, no plague to come into our bodies, into our households, into our families, that we can become infectious to one another. The only infectious thing that we have and we're going to give is the power of love. His love, God's love. This is the only infection that he wants, because see, love is the foundation for miracles. Love is the foundation for deliverance. Love is the foundation for healing. So that's the only thing coming into our house. No disease, no plague, no malady can come in our bodies and in our houses in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. For it's in the name of Jesus that every knee must bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. So he gives us, God gives us that promise. I'm not going to let you become ill. I'm not going to allow that disease to come into your body. I'm not going to allow the virus into your body. I'm not going to allow the virus into your household. I'm not going to allow the virus into your loved one's household, into their bodies, in their workplace, and their places where they commute. No, because we're covered under the blood, And as the songwriter said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. You remember that when the plagues came against Egypt, when the Pharaoh refused to let God's people go, and God unleashed the plagues of Egypt, and when the blood was placed upon the posts or the doors of the children of Israel, those angels that carried those afflictions and those angels that carried the sword of death that struck down the firstborn of the Egyptians, the male children, that turned around and imputed the wrath of God, which was the plagues of the frogs and the locusts and the boils and the sores and all these things. Those things did not touch the children of Israel because they were covered under the blood. God has us covered with his feathers, and this is our safety measure, so we can go with confidence to take care of the things that we need to take care of and do what's needful and necessary and know that we're being protected. But he shall give angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. That's right. God gives his angels charge over us. And because they have charge over us, they are ordered to protect us, ordered to shield us, ordered to guide us, ordered to be a fence, a protective barrier as a force field around us, because the holy angels of God follow the command of the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and our Savior. And we're going to come back again next week with the continuation of what a mighty God we serve, and we're going to go forward in the praise and worship of Father God as we go into this exciting year of great new beginnings, of great miracles taking manifest. Let's be expecting those miracles on this very day, this very hour, this very second, and all this week. And let's come back again on next Sunday for a time of fellowship on the manner of speaking. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, Abby Phelps, known as the Esquire, Motor City Maharani, saying, "And all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and that you and I can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, for God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we're able to ask and even think." We'll see you again on next Sunday. Oh, yeah.